Welcome to Podcast Ed, the podcast of RedefinedOnline.org, covering the stories behind the new definition of public education. On part two of this conversation, Step Up for Students President Doug Tuthill talks with Tommy Schultz, the incoming president and CEO of the American Federation for Children, a national advocacy organization focused on systemic change towards empowering families with options of education and choice. The two discuss the optimism around the leverage families are realizing they have to exert influence over the education system, the number of states where the table is set for real reform, and how both men's work is a constant reminder on the focus of ending systemic poverty and the crises so many families face day in, day out. Thank you for listening and enjoy the episode. Talk to me about what you see as the opportunities and from an optimistic perspective, where do you see things going? Where would you like to see things going over the next couple of years?
I think at the highest level, I am optimistic that there is now ingrained within millions and millions of parents a whole new conversation around education. You know, I've been reading these, you know, all these books for years, whether it's from, you know, Kevin Chavis to Howard Fuller to any of the, you know, every word that you guys write over at Step Up, you know, talking about, you know, this desire and this need for a new consensus around education and the way that some other countries, you know, whether it's Singapore, you name it, there's just a whole different kind of cultural mentality around K through 12 education that I think will this year has actually begun to do that and has changed that within American society. I can't tell you how many times this year I've had friends, family members talking to me and asking me about education, really intrigued with the work that we're doing. And I think, you know, that is happening all over the country to where parents are finally saying, huh, something is wrong. How do we fix it? What do we do? I think that's really encouraging to me because in so many ways, I think not to like discredit parents, but in many regards, I think parents might have been satisfied with the product of K through 12 education. I think to act more realistically, though, there are ones that are very frustrated, but they have been trying to change it and have just felt that there is no way to kind of actually provide leverage to the system. So I think huge amount of leverage this year now more than ever for families to exert influence over this system. And we are in a great position, both I know you at Step Up and us at AFC, we're in a great position to really serve these families in a way that probably we weren't able to in years before simply because we hadn't captured the national attention with kind of a large scale campaign to talk about what is wrong within our K through 12 system. So that's high level optimism. I think state level optimism, we had a fantastic election season in terms of the work we do for trying to elect education reformers to state legislatures. That's kind of the first critical part of our operation and how we work in any given state. And we did really well and in places that we might not have necessarily expected due to the polls. I think there's a joke going around that like we might be living in a post-polling world because so many of the polls were so incorrect that, yeah. I mean, it was just staggering how well we did in juxtaposition to those polls. So I think there's a number of states now, and I don't want to totally give away the playbook to maybe an opponent of ours that may be listening to your podcast, but there are a number of states where the table is set, I think, for some real reforms. I think families should be feeling optimistic, and particularly, you know, let's say along the Midwest and states that may not have been, you know, on the radar of folks for making real dramatic changes. So I think that's good. And that's also bolstered by, you know, recent Supreme Court rulings this year that have said, you know, hey, families are allowed to get these options. These constitutional amendments can't restrict those options in certain ways, which I know you guys have covered endlessly, so I won't dive into those. But we are feeling pretty bullish on a number of states, and we wish we could be everywhere, and we wish we had unlimited resources to kind of help out. But we are making some, I think, strategic investments into states in these next, you know, probably this next cycle that I think will be really exciting for the movement. That just, I mean, probably in October of this year, I don't think folks were looking too optimistically at these states, and we were, you know, a bit worried about the outcomes of the elections. And then suddenly the, you know, early November happened, and boy, we kind of did a 180 there. So I'm feeling great about that. But again, it all goes to that that notion we were just talking about, that look, a lot of families are really in dire straits and they're desperate for options, and we have to do everything we can to give them those options, give them that flexibility, because it's fundamentally, in my opinion, on sort of this optimistic note, this is about solving poverty, right? I mean, this is really the first link in the chain of, something that we could get right that could alter the, and course correct, some of these issues that have been exposed over the past few decades in our country. I know there's been a lot of folks focusing on criminal justice reform, focusing on different aspects of the social safety net. And I'm just a big believer that, gosh, if we could, focus a lot more attention on the front end of that process, we might be able to not even need to start talking about those other issues in the reform space on the public policy front, kind of ounce of prevention is a pound of cure kind of situation. So look, excited to be in this purge, excited to be on the front lines with you, Doug. I know you guys are doing really innovative things at the state level, and I think we're trying to, in some ways, kick the tires around in Florida and trying to take your playbook elsewhere for other states to learn from. And I know you guys have been a great thought leader in that space, so I really appreciate your leadership.
Well, thank you, Tommy. And I also want to say that we do get a lot of attention for how far the Ed Choice movement is in Florida, but we wouldn't be here without lots of help from people around the country. AFC has obviously been an extraordinary partner for years. Even the organizations before AFC, and AFC is a result of several mergers over the years, but all those organizations have made amazing contributions to us. And I got to call out the Walton Family Foundation, which probably, over the last 20 years has been unique in terms of their commitment to education choice. It's one of the country's leading civil rights organizations in terms of empowering low-income families, families of color, have benefited dramatically from the Walton Family Foundation and from AFC. And so I wanted to acknowledge that and tell you that the organization that you're leading now has done heroic work, at least in Florida, over a long, long time, and I'm grateful for that. I also wanted to say that I've been doing this work for 43 years now, and I'm more optimistic today than I've ever been. I keep telling people I've seen more change in the last 8 or 9 months than I've seen in the last 43 years. And we're looking forward to a very exciting legislative session for all the reasons you said. Parents are very activated. They're anxious to have more flexibility in terms of how they educate their children. They want to keep their children safe, but also find all the things they need to be able to customize a high-quality education. The nature of work is changing, as you know. We talked about remote work, but it's also leading to more remote learning and changing the relationship, I think, of families and parents, particularly to education. So I just think it's an extraordinary time in history. I do think the challenges that you've articulated are important, particularly to 3 million plus kids who are, who haven't been engaged in the last year. I do think that's a huge challenge. But also, parents have been engaged in a way they never have before, and that's also going to be exciting. So it's going to be interesting the next couple of years, and I'm thrilled to see where you are in that movement, and I think you're going to provide great leadership. And so thank you for everything that you've been doing and will do in the future.
No, thank you. And, partly too to my development and my role and kind of how I got involved in this movement. Yes, we talked about my early inklings, but I sort of accidentally fell into this role where I came to AFC, and I was our Tennessee communications director because there was a job opening and I was in a transitional part of my life. And I remember very distinctly meeting some of these students on a school tour that in Tennessee, there wasn't a fully fledged choice program up and running yet, but we were meeting some of the students that we might have been helping if we were able to pass a choice program. And I mean, gosh, the cutest kids, hardworking, but you could tell just from everything we were seeing on the kind of aesthetic side of things, coming from tough backgrounds in tough neighborhoods. But then too, when we talked to some of the teachers and the folks who were running this beautiful little school, they were talking about, huge percentage of the population of the students there were homeless. Students telling them, hey, look, can you please pray for my father? He just got out of the hospital this weekend. He was shot. I think about those kids every day. It's actually kind of the banner of my Twitter profile and some of my other pages, so, as a constant reminder of, look, we're doing fun and exciting and big work and kind of changing the bigger overall picture. But really, I always get back to the crisis that so many families are facing day in and day out. And it fuels me, it fires me up every morning to think about, hey, each day we're getting closer to maybe helping us, you know, a student in that, you know, one school that I always look fondly back on. And so it's an exciting time in the movement. I think, too, we have these real urgent crises, and looking forward to many more conversations with you, Doug, about how these things are evolving and changing over the coming months and years. It's going to be a big, exciting moment for K through 12 overall that, again, I'm blessed and humbled to be in this new position coming into 2021.
Well, Tommy, you've been very generous with your time. Are there any other points that you'd like to make before we close?
What book are you reading right now, Doug, that you think the whole school choice movement, educational choice movement, should be reading? It could be even something this year. I think I asked you a few of them. I know you're a big believer in the kind of cognitive and behavioral kind of science stuff. What's a good one that everybody should pick up?
Actually, right now I'm reading, this sounds insane, but I'm reading a book about mosquitoes. But it's actually, it turns out that according to this author, mosquitoes just had a major impact on the evolution of society. And that's because the number of mosquitoes actually kill more people every year than any other entity. I mean, you're 200,000 times more likely to die from a mosquito than you are a shark. And that's because carry malaria. And so malaria has had a huge international impact. And the evolution of our species has been greatly impacted, obviously, by disease. And mosquitoes are one of the primary carriers of diseases, particularly malaria, yellow fever, and a few others. And so it's interesting to see how the whole history of, you know, early development of our society was impacted by mosquitoes. You don't really think about that. Anyway, so that I'm kind of eclectic in my interests, but so now I'm just really engaged in mosquitoes. And I actually stole a book from David the other day about salt. Apparently salt has the same kind of impact. And so now I'm immersed in salt in mosquitoes. So it's not really an ed choice endeavor, but.
Look, I'm sure we can bring your eclectic tastes into some analogy about the K through 12 system and how it's developed. Mosquitoes or salt. I mean, there's got to be something there, right? So keep it in the podcast.
I mean, I think the message is that it's systems, you know, it's systemic. I mean, mosquitoes were systemic, salt was systemic, and those things actually impact the flow of civilization in the same way that you're looking for systems and processes to impact the flow of AFC. It's the same kind of thing on a different scale.